1 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight. 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read the entire chapter. This is sometimes referred to as the love chapter. And you will also find that 1 John chapter 4 is referred to as the love chapter. However, there is something about this chapter that's unique. You won't find the word love. And you find the word charity. And charity, in my mind, is love in action. And so we find here tremendous verses dealing with charity or love in action. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Those are pretty strong words. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But notice, the greatest of these is charity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this tremendous chapter that deals with the marvelous subject of love. Lord, we're thankful that you have given us great description here of love and charity. And we pray tonight that you might help us to understand some very marvelous principles for our own lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And of course, when we look at this chapter, the context is love. When you look at verses 1, 2, 3, it elaborates the mysteries of love. In other words, what life is like without love. I mean, we can do all kinds of things, but it's of no avail if we have not the love of God within us. We come down to verse number 4, and we find that God here begins to give us a definition. And so from verse 4 to verse number 7, he says, charity suffereth long, and what I want us to look at tonight, and is kind. It suffereth long and is kind. And of course, you get to verse number 8 and read the rest as we have done. You find it declares love, its eternal longevity. It never ceases. It keeps on keeping on. In the definition of charity, we find the simple but complex word, kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. We know immediately that kindness and love are inseparable. When somebody loves is kind, we also know that one who is kind loves. I mean, they go together like the old song says, like the horse and carriage. And they are compatible with each other. They're complementary to each other. And so we find that love and kindness are basic in our walk with God. We live in a busy, overwrought society, and kindness seems to take a nosedive. Now, one of the neat things about COVID is people have been so scared that you walk into a store, they get out of your way. I mean, you got the eye out to yourself. And if you're like me and you don't wear a mask, man, they back up really good. It's fun. And but we live at a time when, kindness has gone down the tubes. It's interesting because we find that corporations today, they have sensitivity training because they realize and understand that people are not sensitive one to another. And so they seek to train them, but they miss something very important. First of all, we find that most teach them that they need to build their self-esteem. That's self-love in my book. While that is nothing more than love of self, then expect them to love others and to be kind. It's kind of a mixed-up world. And we understand that love generates kindness. Until men have genuine love for others, as the second great commandment speaks, there will be unkindness. Have you ever been in line and people just rudely cut in? Have you ever been in the drive-thru and you weren't moving quite as fast and you got the horn honked at you? I mean, those things happen. You ever been at the traffic light? Do you know what a nanosecond is? It's the period of time between when you hit the accelerator and the light had turned green. And in that nanosecond, the person behind you is honking the horn. Oh my goodness, I'll tell you what. A lot of folks, they drive with anger. They have anger issues. Always mad at all the stupid drivers. And I think to myself, I wonder what those stupid drivers are thinking of them. Just some thoughts go through my mind. Listen, until we have that genuine love, we're not going to find this thing of kindness. I mean, I believe that kindness, even amongst God's people, has waned. A carefulness about our actions and our words to others is often substituted with a self-centered attitude that cares not for the feelings of others. That ought not be for God's people. We ought to be concerned about how they feel within. Now, I know we live in a touchy-feely world where most are centered on their own feelings. But at the same time, there's a dearth of God's people that exhibit genuine kindness. You know, as we examine the nature and character of a kind person, I think we got to look at the scripture and we find a couple of things that I find remarkable. If you would turn with me to book of Ephesians chapter number 4, book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we notice something very particular here. As we get in verse number 29, he says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So how should we speak one with another? Angrily or in a helpful manner? I believe there it's to be edified, to be a person who edifies. And then he goes into verse number 30. It's interesting. Do you notice what verse 30 starts with? And. So it's connected with the previous verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed in the day of redemption. Could it be that the wrong use of our words, that which proceeds out of our mouth, brings grief to the Holy Spirit? It seems to say that. He goes on, and notice what it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." That almost seems like a commentary on previous verses. And then he connects that once again in verse 32, and he says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I find verse number 32 to be an exceptional verse. You see, you and I as God's people, there ought to be changes in our life. Amen? I mean, when the world looks at us, they ought to see something that's different. And they ought to see somebody who is kind. And so we look here and we find that as we're kind one to another, there's a tenderheartedness, there's a forgiveness one of another. We understand tonight, of course, that everybody in this room needs some forgiveness. Amen. But we find here that unkindness, I believe, is also connected with grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a parent tonight, I think you understand this kind of grief when you hear or see your child being unkind. I don't know how it was with you, but I dare not be unkind to other people in front of my mother. I would find a backhand or a front hand or whatever direction the hand was going. That was not going to work. She wanted me to be kind. And I appreciate the fact that she sought to teach that to me. And so we find parents, they understand that. Furthermore, kindness will give you a tender heart toward another and certainly be forgiving. I got a question for you tonight. When somebody thinks of you, and when I'm talking about they think of you, they're thinking of your actions, they're thinking of your words. Do they need to be forgiving to keep from grieving the Holy Spirit? Notice the connotation here. Do they need to be forgiving because you're such a louse to keep from grieving the Holy Spirit? Interesting thought. I want us to think about something else tonight. I never in my life thought about this. I did learn from scientists as well, and talk about people in the realm of psychology especially. They believe there's a difference between kindness and being nice. And I hope to share that with you. And I think we can from the Word of God as well. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says this, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." What's the first thing you have as a Christian? You got faith. That's how you get saved. And so he says you need to add some virtue to that. And then he says, and to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And then verse 7 says this, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly love, kindness, charity. Kindness is something you add to your godliness. It's not something that godliness is added to. Kindness is added to it. And so if we're being a godly individual, it seems to me like we are going to act in a kind manner. It's an ingredient that's added to godliness. That's why he said, and to godliness, brother, kindness. And what's he saying? He said that needs to be added. Now, being nice, this is interesting, is generally considered that someone is in order to receive back to themselves. Did you catch that? Kindness is having love for others. Well, niceness is more love for self. That's interesting. You go to the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and this is what he wrote in the... In his book concerning the word nice. He said, perceiving the smallest difference, distinguishing accurately and minutely by perception as a person of nice taste, hence perceiving accurately the smallest faults, errors, or irregularities, distinguishing and judging with exactness as a nice judge of a subject, nice discernment. He puts nice in a different category. And he's put in a category of judgment, whether it be that which is what we might call good or what we call bad. But kindness is something that we give to people, not because of who they are, what they've done, but because who our God is. Because it's added to our godliness. Think about it for a moment. You go back to the Old Testament and you find there a man by the name of Joseph. Incredible story of Joseph with his brothers. They hated him. You know the story. They sold him. You remember what took place. But we also know that God used that to put him in a position where he was second in command over the most mighty nation in the world at the time. And we find that his brothers come seeking food, and Joseph meets with them. Finally, after the second, or maybe it was a third trip, he reveals himself to them. And he tells them to go back and get their dad and bring him down, and he will take care of them in the land of Goshen, which the Bible says was the best of Egypt. And so Joseph exhibited a kindness to his brothers without desire of any repayment in any form. Nice, if we think about what we've mentioned, is doing it in order to get a return. But kindness is something we just do to be a blessing to somebody else. I think about David showing kindness to Mephibosheth. It was all for Mephibosheth's benefit. I think about John as the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Behold thy mother." And he took Mary, the mother of Jesus, and he became her caretaker, evidently to the day she died. What was it? It was an act of kindness. What's God expect out of you and me? I think God wants us to be kind. Be kind. How's it come about? What's interesting to me, that the definition of charity suffereth long and is kind. If you have not kindness, evidently there's not much love. And we need to consider. We need to look at ourselves. We need to stop and consider, am I being kind to people? I really get irritated myself because I'm constantly doing stupid things and making jokes and what have you. And from time to time, I got to go to somebody and say, "Hey, listen, I really appreciate you. And I might give you a hard time, but I really appreciate you. By the way, just for your knowledge, if I really, really like you, I give you a really hard time." So you can kind of gauge where you're at on that list. But seriously, we need to be kind. What's the world going to see? They see that, do they not? Yeah. Because most of the world's not. As we mentioned a while ago, companies are having to train their employees on how to be kind. Because nobody knows anything about it. And, boy, all we got to do is look out in the streets of our country today. Do we find kind people there? Not hardly. And it's anger and resentment and all these other things. What's the problem? There's not been a love in their heart, a love that they can understand from God. And thus, they don't know how to be kind. But you and I, if we know Christ, we ought to be exhibited. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much tonight for your word. Lord, I thank you that we have the privilege to exemplify you, for you are the kindest of all. As people rail upon you, you do not seek to get even, but you are kind in return. And Lord, we stop and we look at some of those instances, and our hearts and our minds are just flabbergasted at the marvelous person you are. And Lord, if we're going to be godly, be like you, there must be this thing of kindness. Help us in that area. Help us to learn how to add it, that we might share it. We pray in Jesus' name.